Welcome to the Self Explained podcast. My name is Katie O'Donoghue. I am your host and relationship coach who is here to guide you into rewiring your patterns so that you can rewire your relationships and life. So before I dive into the episode today, I just have one tiny, tiny favor to ask of you. And it's that I would love if you could give the show a rating and let me know what you think of it by clicking on the star icon below. And if you feel like it, drop me a DM on Instagram at Katie O'Donoghue with your key takeaways from the show so far or from this episode. So we are back with part two of the abandonment wound. And I'm going to be focusing on how the fear of abandonment can actually cause you to self-sabotage in your relationships. Now, I'm putting a bit of a disclaimer in, and I know I did this in part one, but I'm just accepting that my episodes are likely just going to be 30 minutes moving forward because I haven't successfully made them 15 to 20 minutes long. So make sure you give yourself enough time to listen to this full episode all the way through. It's going to be 30 minutes, just an FYI. But in this episode, what I want to also say is that when I talk about my experiences, it's not to shame or blame anyone, but I'm letting you in to see my story in the hopes that it will help you to make sense of your story. Okay, so exploring what I went through and the relationships that I had in the hopes that it will help you to explore your relationships and your experiences. Now, when I think about this fear of abandonment, what I mean is that you are fearful that someone is going to leave you, fearful that someone is not going to come back to you, fearful that someone doesn't want to be with you, or maybe that they have forgotten about you. And I'm pretty sure that most people have felt that way at some point in time. I know I definitely have in family relationships, in friendships, in romantic relationships. I think work is probably the only place that I haven't felt that fear that people weren't going to include me or that they were forgetting about me. It's definitely just been, you know, personal relationships, family, friendships, and dating life, so to say. So just become curious as we go along this episode, you know, where does the fear show up for you and what is actually going on in those moments? On that note as well, I do want to say that, you know, in part one, I mentioned how this abandonment wound is created and the fear develops from a form of loss or trauma. So I said a loss of love or a loss of connection in part one, and trauma is very subjective. So it might have been parents not picking you up from school or not attending a school play that can cause you to be fearful that, you know, people aren't going to come and give you time or energy, or that they don't value you or they don't see you as important and so they're forgetting about you. Or it might be, you know, being lost in a shopping center, so people leaving you, not being around for you. It's a very subjective experience. So this is my prompt to listen to part one if you haven't, because I do give different examples that I'm not going to go into here because I'm quite conscious of the time on the screen right now. But when I think of when I've felt this fear, a lot of the time I have felt way younger than my actual age. So when you are emotionally overwhelmed or triggered, it's really common to feel like you're slipping into a childhood state. So like your age regressing, and, you know, often you can become frozen or stuck in the process of grieving a loss or when you are going through some form of trauma. So for me, age 12 was quite a prominent age. And I've mentioned this in earlier episodes. it was quite a high impact year for me because my parents divorced and then my mother's alcohol disorder got progressively worse. And so it was just this kind of across the board abandonment wound that was happening at the time. And I obviously developed survival strategies and tried to cope with trauma in specific ways. But I'm going to give you maybe a journaling question before I continue. If you want to slide open your phone or open up a Word document, if you're on your laptop, if it's safe to do so, maybe it's a journal and pen that is your go-to. First question I want to give you is, you know, what age do you feel when you are emotionally activated or triggered or going through something that is quite traumatic? Is there a specific age that you can actually identify in those moments? And it might feel funny even thinking of things in that way, but you know, when I asked myself those questions, I was like, wow, this is interesting. I feel like I'm 12 a lot of the time. Sometimes I felt like I was 7. And, you know, connecting up the dots was really healing for me because, you know, my anxiety got a lot more manageable when I could understand where everything was stemming from and why I was showing up in a certain way in the present, in my romantic relationships specifically. So just become curious as to what age you feel when you're emotionally overwhelmed or emotionally activated or triggered. But when you think of this fear, so if you think of it in your dating life primarily, you know, is it that you start to think, you know, what's wrong with you or what did you do when someone doesn't text you back or when someone doesn't match with you on a dating app? Maybe it's, you know, when you reach out to someone and you don't hear back from them straight away, you start to go into that thinking pattern of, oh, have I said something wrong? You know, if they don't text back, you know, what does that mean? Are you starting to get afraid that, you know, they don't want to engage with you, they don't want to spend time with you? Like, what is your thought patterns in those kind of vulnerable moments more than anything else? When you think of the fear, you know, it's not really that you're afraid that someone's not going to want to be with you or that they're going to leave you in those moments. What is actually really scary in those moments is the patterns that they are revealing to you. So maybe it's the lack of communication that is actually causing you to start thinking, you know, they don't want to spend time with me. They don't want to date me. They're not going to stick around. Like, it's the patterns that they're revealing. Maybe it's like the inconsistencies. They're very hot one minute and cold the next. And that starts to make you question whether they're actually going to be a part of your life, whether they're actually going to stick around for the long term or whether it's just this fleeting moment, right? So think about what is actually challenging for you in those moments that you start to feel this fear or start to think, you know, should I actually stick around for them or should I leave them? Should I abandon them? Think about what's actually going on. So I'm going to give you a second question on that note. And the question is, what patterns of relating trigger your fear of abandonment in a relationship? Okay, so think about when you're emotionally activated, what is it about that situation? What are you actually afraid of? Or what are you perceiving that is causing you to question if this person is going to stay or if they're going to leave you or if you should stay or leave them? So when I think about what was particularly triggering for me, it was silent treatment or no communication. So sometimes I had experiences where it was days on end that I would hear nothing back from someone. And this would often enable me to start thinking, you know, have I done something wrong? Have I shown up in a way that has caused this person to pull away from me? And so I would slip into this kind of self-blame mode and often, you know, accept blame for things that weren't really my responsibility or my fault. But in a weird way, It gave me a sense of control over the situation, because if I accepted blame, or if I blamed myself, then I was in a position to apologize and to people please my way out of the situation, and therefore, you know, hopefully prevent someone from leaving me. And that's kind of how I made sense of emotionally activating situations. And it was really a reflection of my childhood, where I was dependent on my mother for survival around age 12. My biggest fear was her not being there for me, or not being there in general, because of the alcohol disorder. And so often I would take on responsibilities to help myself survive through the relationship, to get my needs met, to ensure that the relationship would be protected, or that she would still be there through the tough times, through the good times. So I did that in my romantic relationships too. And that's why I say I felt like I was age 12 a lot of the time in my adulthood life, because it was similar patterns that were causing me to show up in a certain way. So another thing that activated my fear of abandonment was ultimatums. So basically being presented with this choice where if I didn't choose the preferred option, it would result in a negative outcome. Often it was losing a relationship with someone, whether that was a family member or with romantic partners in my adulthood life. So I didn't feel safe to say no or to set a boundary without that meaning that there would be a breakup or that the relationship would be over. And so I would people please. I would basically do anything to ensure that the relationship would survive, because my biggest fear was not having a relationship or losing someone that was particularly important to me. Another thing that was particularly activating for me, and like I say, I'm telling you these things so you can become curious as to whether they were activating for you, the inconsistencies with time and energy, or kind of hot cold behaviors, which can often cause a person to feel confused, to feel anxious, and to not really be sure of where the relationship is going. So often how this plays out is, you know, someone who's feeling anxious in a relationship will want reassurance or validation or clarity as to what direction the relationship is moving in. And the other side, you know, a lot of the time it's an avoidant person that's with an anxiously attached, but the avoidant person will meet the anxious person with resistance or denial or avoidance in general. So they won't want to communicate because in their eyes, distance is what they want in a relationship, because if they're not attached to this person, it means they're not at risk of being abandoned. So they have that same fear, but it's just showing up in a different way. So the other thing that was particularly activating for me was being criticized or rejected for not behaving in a certain way. So again, in my eyes, I thought, okay, if I actually be myself, it's going to result in, you know, the relationship breaking down or me losing this person. So I need to become who they want me to be. And this gap between, you know, my real self and this version of me that the other person wanted me to be created a lot of anxiety, because I felt like I was walking on eggshells, and that if I actually made a choice that felt good to me, it was going to throw everything up in the air and I was going to lose the relationship. Now, I've understood through therapy that a lot of the things that I went through were forms of emotional abuse. So that was quite heavy for me to process and to realize, because I didn't know what a healthy relationship looked like, because I came from a home where there was a lot of psychological abuse. And so this was like my map of relationships and what I accepted for a very long time. So on that note as well, you know, as I was talking about anxiety, anxiety can be a sign that you have this fear, right? So if you worry about the relationship being over, or about not being wanted or not being loved or not feeling safe in the relationship to make a choice or to be yourself, become curious. You know, why do you feel that anxiety? What is it trying to teach you about yourself? You know, what does it mean for the relationship? What would change in the relationship if you were to be more honest about how you're feeling, right? Sometimes your anxiety as well can often be, you know, as a result of past relationship trauma that has been unresolved. I know that was a little bit of what was going on for me. So if you think about particularly painful experiences that you've gone through in the past that could have caused you to fear that people were going to leave you, or that, you know, you had done something to cause people to leave you, like, just become curious of how those past wounds are shaping your present relationships, because your past does inform the present. And that ultimately informs your future. So if you want to change your future relationships, if you want to change the future outcome, you kind of need to take a look at the past and what has shaped you and see how it connects up to your present, so you can actually catch a pattern and start changing that pattern so that your relationship dynamic is changing too. Whether that's, you know, addressing fears or beliefs or habits that just aren't helping you to feel connected, to feel fulfilled, to feel good in a relationship. So when I think about, you know, other symptoms of this fear, your fear of abandonment might be spotted through, you know, trust issues in the relationship. Maybe, you know, similar to me, being sensitive to criticism or rejection from another person. Maybe it shows up in your behaviors of people pleasing, so overgiving, overcompensating, overdoing, and that's to avoid separation or to avoid abandonment a lot of the time. Maybe it's you get into a relationship too quickly because being on your own feels really uncomfortable. Maybe it's you stay in a relationship that isn't healthy anymore because you fear being single, because being single means you're on your own. And that's abandonment in itself. You know, I am alone. I'm not okay. I need someone. I need a relationship, any kind of a relationship. And so you either get into one that isn't really aligned to you, or you stay in one that isn't really healthy. And it's just because you have this fear of abandonment. Maybe it's blaming yourself. So similar to me, blaming yourself when there's a little bit of a bump, because it gives you a sense of control. And if you have control, it means you can technically avoid this fear coming true. So you can take steps to ensure that people aren't going to leave you, or that they're going to love you, or that they're going to see you as worth being with. So what do you do on that note to ensure that your fear doesn't become reality? When I think about, you know, self-sabotage and this fear, like, technically, people-pleasing is a form of self-sabotage. You know, not being able to trust someone is a form of self-sabotage. Shutting down when things get tough is a form of self-sabotage. Giving someone the silent treatment, or stonewalling, or ultimatums, like, these are all forms of self-sabotage. Even peacekeeping or sweeping things under the carpet, they're not helping your relationship. Your inner child might think it is, but really it creates disconnection because you're not being honest, you're not being open, you're not being vulnerable, you're not communicating with the other person. And the other person can't read your mind. So you need to be willing to put yourself out there and lean into vulnerability if you want that intimacy or connection in a relationship. And it's really hard to do because of this fear of abandonment, or even a fear of rejection. You know, putting yourself out there means that you have to be okay with the idea of someone not being able to meet you where you're at. And that is a message in itself at times. If you are now aware that someone can't meet you in the middle or show up for you in the way that you really need them to, that puts you in a position where you need to make a choice. Should you stay or should you actually go if that is how the relationship is? If they're not willing to address their own behaviors and work with you to get this win-win outcome where you're both feeling safe and you're both feeling good in the relationship. So on that note, what I want to say is, you know, when you're in those emotionally overwhelming or challenging moments, you actually have a choice. And the choice is to allow your patterns to repeat. So allow yourself to slip into unconscious patterns, whether that's shutting down, anxiously texting, people pleasing, peacekeeping, like whatever your trauma response is, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn even. You have a choice to allow those patterns to repeat or to pause, to take a breath, to maybe communicate that you just need to go and self-soothe and regulate your emotions, you know, take a time out, help yourself to feel a little bit more calm, at peace, and then come back and communicate about the situation at hand. And lean into vulnerability and openness in those moments. So what I mean by that is, can you communicate to the other person what you're really afraid of in those moments? You know, a lot of people are afraid of losing the relationship or of losing the person. So vulnerability in those moments might look like, hey, I'm feeling really scared right now because this fight has led me to believe that I might lose you. And that makes me feel really anxious. What I need to feel safe is to be able to explore what went on between us and to take steps together so that this fight doesn't repeat anymore, or so we both feel like we're meeting in the middle or being honest about our feelings and accepting that, you know, even if we are in a disagreement, it doesn't mean that I don't value you or I don't value the relationship. And it's just kind of having that element of openness and vulnerability so that your partner or friend or family member can really see you for who you are, instead of thinking, you know, all the stories that we can come up with in those moments about what the other person's behaviors or patterns actually mean. So really think about that choice. You know, do you want to allow those patterns to repeat, which are, you know, self-sabotaging or destructive and harmful to the relationship? Or do you want to show up in a different way that protects the relationship and helps to bring you both closer together? Now, what I will say is that this isn't easy to do, and I know it wasn't easy for me to do previously because I didn't really see it role modeled to me. I didn't really see vulnerability or openness when I was growing up. Maybe I did. Maybe I'm blocking that out. I'm not too sure. But even in society, a lot of people don't role model vulnerability because people see it as a form of a weakness and something that, you know, isn't really okay to do because people might be afraid that there will be people who will manipulate this vulnerability. And there will be. You know, I want to put that awareness in. Be careful who you do let into your life, because not everyone is going to show up in a way that you need them to. Some people actually might see your vulnerability and use it to their advantage. So think about who to open up to, and maybe what safety looks like to you when you think about opening up to someone. what is it about their behaviors that gives you the message that you can actually be open with them? You can be honest. You can lean into vulnerability. You can let them see you in those moments. So when I think about this in a relationship, let's say I have another example. I'm going to do maybe an anxious avoidant typical relationship because I see that a lot in my line of work, but I also read a lot about it and I've also been through it myself because I was formerly anxiously attached. I'm going to hold my hand up to that and say I used to be the anxious person in a relationship, and sometimes I can still notice that pattern, but I'm able to reparent and self-soothe in those moments and I understand where it really does come from. But if you're to think about an anxious person in a relationship, so anxious people need communication, they need reassurance, they need to know that the other person isn't going to leave them just because there's been a little bit of a fight or disagreement in the relationship. So they're often quite hypervigilant and on the lookout for any form of abandonment or rejection. And they often think, you know, if this person isn't responding to me or connecting with me, then that means they're going to leave me. And I know this was definitely a truth for me because in the past, when I didn't get a text back straight away, if there was some sort of miscommunication or disagreement, it often kind of circled around in my mind. I would really get anxious over it and start to think about, you know, what did I do wrong? Why isn't this person communicating with me? You know, I text them again because I was getting anxious over it. And if the person was an avoidant attachment style, they'd pull away because they view intimacy and closeness as, you know, a bit of a risk for them. So in their eyes, they think no attachment, no abandonment. And that's how they view relationships. Distance is kind of safety. Whereas the anxiously attached person needs closeness. Distance is a threat to them. So it's kind of like the fear is showing up in the relationship between an anxious and avoidant, but just in different ways. So the avoidants think if they get close to someone, that means they're at more risk to have this fear become a reality. And the anxious thinks if I'm not close with someone, I'm at risk of having this fear become a reality. And often this is, you know, their childhood wounds at play where there was inconsistent caregiving, maybe for the anxiously attached. So mom and dad might have had demanding jobs. They were there some days, not there the next. And then for the avoidant, it might have been the message that they couldn't rely on mom and dad. And so they learned to distance themselves because relying on someone wasn't like an okay thing to do. So it's kind of like childhood patterns are resurfacing in the present relationship. You're both in trauma response in those moments, whether that's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, which is damaging for the relationship. So that's why I say you have a choice to allow those unconscious patterns repeat or to pause, self-soothe, self-regulate your emotions, and bring a level of consciousness to those moments. How do you actually want to show up? Can you lean into vulnerability? What are you really afraid of, right? And it's probably going to be, I'm afraid this person will reject me, or they're not going to be accepting of me, or they're not going to be there for me if I'm to reveal this part of myself to them. When I think about, you know, what is needed in those moments, telling someone that you are afraid of losing them, that you need something to feel safe, is hard because maybe you don't know what your needs are or that you had any needs. Maybe, you know, being honest in a relationship is difficult because in your earlier experiences, maybe you were punished for being honest or you weren't believed. whatever it is, you know, the right person is going to be there for you. They're going to be able to show up for you. They're going to be accepting that you see the world in a certain way, that your feelings are valid and that there's a reason for you feeling that way. They'll want to work with you. They'll want to help you to feel safe, because in a relationship, like I say, yes, you're responsible for your feelings and for your patterns, but it sometimes takes two people for a fear to be overcome or for wounds to be healed, which is why people say relationships can actually be really healing. But it takes two people doing the work on themselves and kind of meeting each other in the middle for wounds to be healed, for patterns to no longer repeat. A person who is not ready to meet you where you need them to meet you will invalidate your feelings. They might even perceive you as being demanding or clingy or asking for too much. They might think that, you know, they're not ready to have a relationship with you because they haven't done the work on themselves. Okay, but that's okay. You know, that just means that maybe you need to make a choice on the relationship itself, or, you know, communicate something to this other person about what is challenging for you and what you do need for the relationship to be successful. And having that kind of openness invites them to be open a lot of the time too. So it allows them to understand you and you to understand them. And people can't read your mind, I said this already. So you do need to take even a baby step. And it's just kind of like, what would that step look like to you? So my final question for this podcast episode is, you know, how open are you with the people in your life, in your love life specifically? Can you lean into vulnerability to share your feelings, to share what you're afraid of in the moments that you are feeling emotionally overwhelmed or triggered? Can you lean into vulnerability and to share your feelings both in a good light and in the not so good light? Because vulnerability isn't always about the negative things, it's sometimes about the good feelings too. So I think I'm going to wrap up this episode because I'm looking at the screen and it's like 32 minutes. But if you liked this episode, I would be forever grateful if you could give it a rating, give it a like, or maybe even give me a tag on Instagram and let me know what you thought of this episode, part two. Thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you on the next episode.